Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Troubles with Heartbreak by Brittany Taylor. Narrated by Amelie Griffin and Mason Lloyd. Prologue. 5 years earlier. Hate is a pretty strong fucking word. Reserved only for the most extreme cases. Or so my father has always told me since I was a little girl. Although I've never outright stated I've hated someone, there's only one person who's ever come close. Levi Hawkins, quarterback of our school football team, and the bane of my existence. Not that I've ever held a decent conversation with the guy. He's only ever muttered all of a few sentences to me since he transferred here at the beginning of the year. I'm basically invisible to the same man who is everything but to the rest of the world. Instant football star. Instant popularity. Still, I know how Levi Hawkins truly feels about me. Between the constant glares and backhanded comments to his other teammates, it hasn't been hard to miss. The only times I've ever heard him speak about me are under his breath whenever he's forced to be near me. Sometimes I swear I hear him call me Nasty Cassidy, but I could be wrong. I don't know where his contempt for me comes from. How can you possibly hate someone when you've never actually spoken to one another? Being the photographer for the school yearbook requires me to have a certain level of interaction with our varsity football team, especially in a state like Texas, where football is as sacred as the iced tea in their glasses and the barbecue on their plates. On the days when I've been forced to stare at Levi for the sake of my yearbook duty, I've considered all possibilities of why he seems to curl his full lips and narrow his piercing blue eyes in my direction every chance he gets. Maybe he considers me an inconvenience to the team, always sticking a camera in their faces. Football games and team photos. I've been there, camera in hand, snapping shot after shot. Or maybe it's because, for guys like Levi, it's impossible for them to bother to associate with anyone who isn't on the team or shaking those obnoxious black and gold pom-poms. And if you aren't a cheerleader or a football, you don't get any sort of attention from Levi Hawkins. None. But even with those reasons why Levi despises me, the same could be said for me. I can't stand him. Staring at Levi through my lens has only made my chest burn and my legs tighten even more. He's impossibly gorgeous and I fucking hate it. I loathe it. I loathe the times where my eyes are forced to look in his direction, only because of what it does to me. Too many times I've imagined what it might feel like to have his mouth press on mine, or how it would feel to see his eyes looking up at me as he buries his face between my legs. Square jaw, soft yet strong lips, large hands cupping me in all the places no one has yet to explore. In all honesty, I can't stand the power he has over me. It's incredibly frustrating to want the guy who gives you absolutely no indication he has any interest in you at all. My only saving grace is graduation in 8 months. In 8 months, I'll be off to college and far away from here. 8 months, and I'll never have to see him ever again. But I know even then, I'll remember how Levi Hawkins has always been trouble. Trouble number one, Levi Hawkins, always. Chapter 1. Cassidy. I've always hated social gatherings. The whole idea of placing myself into a situation where I'm surrounded by a large group of people is enough to make my armpits sweat, my stomach wobble with nausea, and my throat swell. But here I am, standing in the middle of the backyard, staring out at nearly all my coworkers. And when I say all of them, I mean all of them. They litter the entire backyard, standing in their cocktail dresses and pent-up ties, fancy drinks perched in their hands. I look down and stare at my toes. The black nail polish coating each of my nails peeks out from under my black sandal wedges. There's a chip on my pinky toenail, and I cringe, hating that I'm only noticing it now. It shouldn't be a big deal, but I can't help how out of place it looks compared to the rest of the crowd surrounding me. Everyone here is perfect. It looks like they walk around with a social media filter on them all the time. I stare at the 2 inches between the tip of my sandals and the edge of the swimming pool in front of me. The water laps back and forth, splashing against the inside wall. It's a bright, clear blue, and even through the small, subtle waves, I can see straight to the bottom. Lights illuminate from underneath, mixed in with the deep blue or bright spots of yellow. Part of me wishes I had my camera. The other part wonders if the water is warm or cold. I fight the temptation to jump in, not caring if I'm the only one swimming. I won't care if I ruin my entire outfit. It at least would be better than standing here by myself, listening to the constant, mindless chatter of the entire staff of the Austin Daily News. I slide my toe forward, nearing the edge. Thinking of taking a swim? I slide my foot back and swing my gaze up to find my friend Veda. Her purple painted lips are spread into a wide smile. An empty martini glass is pinched between her fingers. Do you think Nate would be pissed if I did? I laugh, darting my eyes over her shoulder. She turns her head, following my gaze. Her long brown curls are swept up in a high ponytail. They bounce up and down like a loose, coiled spring. The ends dance across her bare back. When she turns back to face me, she lets out a light giggle. Maybe. It looks as if no one has ever actually gone swimming in it. If they have, it's very well taken care of. What's the point of having a pool if you never use it? They look nice, Veda says, matter of fact, shrugging one shoulder. Do you want to go get another drink? I ask her, shifting our conversation. She looks down at the empty glass still in her hand and shakes her head. No, Colton and I were about to head out. Really? My shoulders immediately drop in disappointment. This is why I hate social gatherings. If your friends leave, you're left by yourself. I can feel my armpits sweating already. Yeah, she says. Colton has work early in the morning, and then he's taking Jonah to that fancy hotel with the water park inside. Oh, right, I nod, remembering how they were taking my nephew Jonah to a resort a few hours away. I forgot you were going tomorrow. Colton's brother tragically died in a car accident last year. It wasn't until a few months ago that Colton found out Jonah is his brother's son. Only his brother never knew about him, since my sister never shared her secret relationship with Ryan. Despite the sadness that comes with knowing Jonah will never meet his father, I'm so grateful that Jonah has family outside me and my father. Most of all, I'm thankful Colton uses every chance he gets with Jonah, even including Veda. Well, I'm not actually leaving for another couple of days, Veda says. I have some things I need to finish up at the office before I can go. Veda. My voice fades as my eyebrows knit and I tilt my head, unconvinced. She has a bad habit of allowing herself to get swept up in her work. I think a part of her is still in fear that she'll lose her job somehow. Much like the last paper we were at, or when she was working at her brother's bar after his wife passed away. In a way, I understand her. Being here without my camera wrapped around my neck is killing me. Utterly killing me. Don't worry, she says. If I don't go, I won't hear the end of it from Colton. I just need to make sure my office is good to go after Nate clears out the last of his files tomorrow. Good. I look back over her shoulder in the same direction I was earlier and spot Nate standing on the opposite side of the lawn from where we are. This isn't even his house. Honestly, I'm not even sure who owns it. Everything about this place feels fake. Fake smiles, fake decorations, even the pool seems fake. It's as if I'm standing in the middle of a stage, surrounded by hundreds of actors and props. Our old boss, Nate, is transferring to a paper in Lubbock to reunite with his family. Yesterday was his last day at our newspaper before Veda took over his position. Technically, she's my new boss, but I think of her as more of a friend than anything else. It's a strange position to be in, but my respect for her will never change. Being a couple years older than me, Veda has been an incredible mentor. We may work in different departments, but she's had my back ever since we started working together. I'm still watching Nate over Veda's shoulder. He's standing with a group of reporters from the office. His movements differ slightly from usual. You can tell he's had quite a bit to drink. There's a beer in his hand, and it's a foreign sight. I've never seen him with alcohol. My attention is pulled away when I see someone crossing the yard from the corner of my eye. Levi Hawkins. On instinct, my heart leaps at the sight of him. It's not as if I'm surprised to see him here. I knew he would be, and I also know Levi would never miss the opportunity for a party such as this one. It's the perfect setting for him. Since we were 17 years old, I've always known Levi to be the center of attention. Even when he didn't appear to be asking for it, he got it. Because all throughout high school, that's exactly what he got. Exactly everything he ever wanted. Sure, there were a few years where we were hundreds of miles apart, attending different colleges. But the day I saw him walk into our newspaper as the newest reporter to be hired, I'd known he hadn't changed. No amount of time can change a person that much. Levi lifts his hand and loosens the tie around his neck, tilting his head from side to side. He looks frustrated as he swings both of his arms at his sides. His long fingers curl, his hands forming into two tightly clenched fists. He's wearing a black collared shirt, the sleeves partially pushed up, revealing his perfectly toned and sculpted muscles. Between his shirt and his dark jeans and the black leather belt around his waist, he sticks out in this party like a neon sign. His outfit alone sets him apart from the rest of the office cronies. The thick muscles of his arms stretch the sleeves of his shirt as he crosses the yard from one corner to the other. My eyes move in an invisible line, following back to where he came from inside the house. A woman stumbles behind him a good distance away from Levi, but she veers off course, turning her attention to another group of people. I can't tell if she's involved with Levi, or was a few minutes ago. But knowing him, it wouldn't surprise me. Levi has never been one to shy away from fucking any woman that looked his way. Well, every woman except me. Or at least, that's the way he was in high school. During our senior year, he had a different girl drooling on his every word nearly every week. I'm not entirely convinced he's changed much since then. I look back to Levi as he finishes the last few feet before finding the small bar set up near the back for all the guests. Nate spared no expense in hiring a catering service to hand out hors d'oeuvres and an endless open bar. Looks as if Levi isn't wasting the opportunity to use it. From where I'm standing, several dozen feet away from him, I'm able to see his mouth move as he mutters a few words to the bartender. When he turns around, he leans his arms on the edge of the counter and hangs his head for a few seconds. The bartender places a small glass filled with clear liquid in front of Levi, causing him to bring his head back up. He thanks the bartender, then lifts the glass to take a sip. "Anyway," Veda says, bringing my attention back to her, "I better grab Colton before he spends all night getting caught up in conversation." She tilts her head toward the other end of the yard, where Colton is standing with two other guys from our office. "Okay." I give her a reassuring smile. "I think I'm about to head out as well. Drive safe. You too." She turns on her heel and heads toward Colton. I watch her as Colton wraps his arm around her waist, then guides her to the gate off to the side of the yard, leading to the front. I inhale a deep breath as I look around at the remaining party guests. There's no one here I have any interest in sparking conversation with, so I adjust the strap of my purse on my shoulder and step away from the edge of the pool. The urge to jump in has completely left me. I look down at the half-drank mojito in my hand, from 2 hours ago. Mashed mint leaves are packed inside, mixing with the alcohol. I scrunch my nose and look around the yard, not seeing a designated place for me to place it other than the bar. I turn on my heel and head to the bar. My throat bobs with nerves the second I catch Levi staring at me. His dark brown eyebrows are knitted above his sharp blue eyes. They're narrowed on me, and the image of them takes me straight back to high school, when I'd catch him staring at me exactly like this. Only this time, I don't have my camera lens to hide my flaming red cheeks or the bob of my throat as I swallow my nerves. Levi absolutely hates me. We work together, a fact I never thought I'd face in the 5 years since high school. I thought then was the last time I'd see him. I hoped it would be. But fate couldn't have proved me any more wrong. Because here I am, strutting through some random fucking stranger's lawn with black wedged heels and a half-empty mojito in my hands, staring straight into the eyes of a man that's hated me since we were teenagers. See? Levi hasn't changed since high school. He still hates me as much as he did back then. I'm halfway to the bar when the corner of Levi's insatiably delicious mouth curls in the corners, the creases of his cheeks deepening. I hate how many times I've imagined how his mouth might taste when he kisses me, or how it might feel to have his tongue slide between my folds, pressing against my clit. My mouth goes dry, his sneer barely fazing me. I'm used to it. I've had to get used to it since we started working together. When I reach the bar, I place my glass on the counter. The glass clinks on the hard surface, but I don't bother looking in Levi's direction. I've never fully understood his hatred for me, and I'm sure as hell not going to figure it out tonight. I just want to go home. The bartender spots me and moves to stand in front of me. He eyes my glass, bringing his gaze up to mine with furrowed eyebrows. Can I get you something else to drink? No. I give him a smile, feeling Levi's stare burning the entire right side of my body. I ignore him, biting on the inside of my cheek. He stays silent, listening to my exchange with the bartender who grins, taking the glass. He dumps the contents into a large black bin behind the counter. I can feel Levi's stare, and the longer I stand here, the more my heart races. It pounds in my chest, and deep down, I know it's because of how I feel about him. I've always been attracted to the one man I annoy without managing even a single glance. I hate it. I detest it. I will the sensation brewing inside me to go away, watching him from the corners of my eyes. He's still leaning over the counter, his sleeves rolled up to his elbows. A bright light shines from the top of the counter, what I'm assuming can only be his phone. I clear my throat, then turn my head slightly, enough to chance a glance at him. I immediately regret it. He snaps his head up from what he's doing, and his eyes stare straight into mine. His sharp eyes have deepened in their color. They remind me of a flickering blue flame. I don't stare in them too long before I look off to the side, anywhere but at him. Leaving so soon? He asks, and then his shoulders quake as he laughs under his breath. Shouldn't surprise me, though. What is that supposed to mean? I ask him coolly. Heat presses against the back of my throat, simmering across my tongue. I'm shocked he's even bothering to talk to me. He speaks to me more now than he ever did in high school, but I know that's purely for work purposes. This is not. Nothing, really. He casually shrugs, turning off the screen to his phone and shoving it into the front pocket of his black slacks. I never took you as the kind of girl who'd enjoy parties like these. From the looks of it, you don't seem to be enjoying it either. I nod my head toward the group of people standing to my right. The same group of people that woman joined a few moments after stepping out of the house after Levi. I shift my gaze back to Levi, narrowing my eyes as I adjust the strap of my purse on my shoulder. Besides, you don't know me, Levi, so don't bother trying to pretend to. He pushes off the counter and moves to stand closer to me. I try not to breathe in too deeply, unsure of how I will react. Instead, I take a step back. He matches me, step for step. He comes closer. His chest and arms are as sculpted as they were in high school, as if he still spends a good hour of his day working out. His arms are relaxed at his side, but he lifts one, scratching at the shadow of stubble lining his jaw. It's hard to pretend when I know exactly the woman you are, Cassidy. I swallow down his words as they shoot straight to the core of my chest. I can feel his voice wrapping around my heart, then piercing it with his disdain for me. It's confusing because Levi doesn't know a single thing about me. I wish I could say the same for him, but I can't. I know exactly the man he is and has always been. I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. If anything, I know the kind of man you are. You haven't changed a single ounce since high school. He frowns, intrigued. His eyes flare. I'm interested to hear what hasn't changed in 5 years. I inhale a deep breath, contemplating on indulging him. He's laying out the bait, begging me to take it. Regrettably, I do, if only for a moment. Let's see. I tap my finger on my chin and look up, pretending to think. Arrogant? Egotistical? Player? He simply stares at me when I arch an eyebrow. Does that sound about right?
Sounds typical, he says evenly.
There's no emotion or reaction from him as his eyes roam over me. The music playing over the party fills in the widening silence between us. My patience wears thin the louder the piano notes get, and the brighter Levi's eyes spark under the bright lights. Have a good night, Levi. Be safe. Not wanting to deal with him any longer, I give him the most artificial smile I can muster. Without waiting for a response, I spin on my heel, already digging inside my purse for my car keys. I push through the gate and walk through the side yard of the house before reaching the street. I press the unlock button on my key fob, ready to get out of this dress and these wedges. The rubber of my wedges scrapes against the asphalt with each step I take closer to my car. I shove every thought of Levi out of my head. It hasn't been difficult to do, a task I've accustomed myself to. Ever since the first time I saw him our senior year, he was the hot new quarterback everyone absolutely fell head over heels for. And Levi didn't shy away from giving them what they wanted. Everyone ate that shit out of the palm of his hand. His popularity skyrocketed while I stayed hidden behind my camera. When I reach my car, I immediately sit in the driver's seat and stick my key in the ignition. My headlights turn on, even before my engine, shining their golden beams on the back of the car in front of me. I twist the key, attempting to start my engine, but nothing happens. The engine tries to turn, whining repeatedly. I turn the key back, then try again. The same sound pours out. It struggles to start, and the red battery light flashes on the dash. My father has taught me enough about cars to know the basics. Essentials, as he called them. The battery is dead. Even so, I try a few more times before falling back against my seat, deflated. I rest the back of my head against the headrest and allow my shoulders to fall, deciding what to do. Damn it, I mutter, slamming my palm against the steering wheel.
Rough night?
Shit! I sit up in my seat as my heart sinks to the bottom of my stomach, catching my breath. When I look up, Levi is standing on the other side of my door. The window is shut, and his voice is muffled coming from the other side. He's bent down, peering through my window. His tie hangs down, swinging between his chest and my window. I roll my eyes and reach for the handle, opening the door and stepping out. I shut it behind me and lean against the door. What are you doing here? I ask him.
Looks like you need help.
He lazily waves his hand out toward my car.
Or that you need a jump.
I don't. I quickly shut down his weak attempt to offer help. Besides, you didn't have to go out of your way to offer to help me or come out here for me.
I never said I was going out of my way, or that I was out here for you.
Right.
My cheeks heat, flaming with red. Of course not. That wouldn't be like you to come over here simply out of the kindness of your heart. He ignores me and clamps his mouth shut as he tightens his jaw, nodding toward the hood of my car.
Is the battery dead?
I'm pretty sure that's the problem. I refuse to give in to Levi or this conversation he's half attempting to have, knowing he isn't simply offering out of kindness. He's doing it out of arrogance.
Okay.
He walks over to the hood of my car, sliding his sleeves even farther up his forearms. No, I tell him, cutting him off. I'm fine. I can figure it out on my own. Again, I'm too stubborn to give in.
So what? He asks me. You're going to stand out here all by yourself?
No. I pull out my phone, ignoring Levi's sudden presence. I can call for a rideshare. I'm not entirely sure why he's out here. I'm at least 50 feet from the house. Did he follow me out here after I walked away from him? The lights from the party shine a subtle glow around his silhouette. Shadows cover his face, accentuating all the sharp angles of his face. I bring the rideshare app up on my phone, requesting for a car.
Listen, Levi says, pulling my attention from my phone. Let me look under the hood, and then I'll leave you to it.
Why do you care? I ask him, narrowing my eyes. Suspicion tingles underneath my skin, heating me from the inside out. Deep down, I know Levi doesn't truly care. There's another explanation for his offering to quote-unquote help. I've already clicked on the button, confirming to have someone pick me up in about 10 minutes by the time he answers.
What's with all the questions? We work together, and I heard you having trouble starting your car all the way from the front lawn.
I pause, still unconvinced. The party is too loud for Levi to hear my car if he were standing on the front lawn. But I don't bother analyzing him any further. With a deep groan, I roll my eyes as I reach down below my steering wheel and lift the lever to pop my hood. It gives a loud metal pop sound, and Levi is quick to lift it. I don't move from where I am, crossing my arms over my chest as I wait. My feet hurt, standing in my heels. I lean against my car and tip my chin up to stare at the sky. It's pitch black, all the stars washed out by the surrounding city lights. I'm lost in my thoughts as I'm staring up at the sky, when I jump at the sound of my hood slamming shut. I tip my head to the side, watching as Levi makes his way around my car. Well, I ask him. I catch a quick glimpse of small grease stains on the tips of his fingers before he shoves his hands in his pockets. He doesn't seem to notice or care.
It was your battery. One connection was loose, so I tightened it up.
He nods toward the driver's seat.
You should try it now.
I sit in the seat and insert my key into the ignition. The engine immediately turns over, roaring to life as usual.
Damn it.
I'm thankful my car is working, but I hate that Levi was the one to fix it. I leave my engine running and stare up at him from where I'm sitting with my legs outside of my car, my heels resting on the asphalt. Levi's eyes move from my toes all the way up my body to my eyes. I hold my breath and give him a weak smile. Thanks. I guess I'll see you at work.
Yeah.
He nods once, his features settling back into their normal place. Hardened jaw and narrowed, brooding stare. All of it turns my body to mush, and I still fucking hate it.
And to think, you were ready to call a rideshare when all you needed was a simple tightening of a cable.
I said thank you, Levi. Can't we leave it at that?
I guess, he shrugs.
Sorry to pull you from your night. I point toward the house. I could tell you were having a good time. All lies. I saw the frustration dripping off him as he stormed out of the house earlier, but I don't tell him. I keep it to myself.
I was.
He nods, twisting his mouth in thought. He backs away from me, spinning on the heel of his brown leather dress shoe.
See you at work, Cassidy.
My palms sweat, and my heart thrums inside my chest, replaying the sound of his voice in my head, repeating the way my name sounded passing his lips.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?